touch the earth. I wanna break it in my hands. I wanna grow something wild and unruly. I wanna sleep on the hard ground in the comfort of your arms, on a pillow of blue bonnets in a blanket made of stars. Oh, it sounds good to me. I said, cowboy, take me away. Fly this thrill as high as you can into the wild blue. Set me free. Oh, I pray. Closer to heaven above and closer to you. Closer to you. Building standing tall. I wanna be the only one for miles and miles, except for mimicking you and your simple smile. Oh, it sounds good to me. Yes, it sounds so good to me. Cowboy, take me.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT right now. Okay, there it goes. Here we're getting better. We're learning how to run this thing. Welcome to Shooting Bench. 16th of January. We've got 4 days left here to see what's going to happen. Inauguration Day. A lot of speculation. Ought to be a lot of fun, one way or another. Anyway, got a lot of interesting stuff. Hope you all had a good weekend this weekend. I did. It was pretty good. I have acquired a backhoe that's going to help with chores around here and with snow plowing and stuff locally, and I think I'm going to put it to work here pretty quick. So we're anxious to do that. It ought to be a lot of fun. And we've got classes coming up. We've got our concealed carry class all of a sudden has become pretty popular. And before I talk too much, let me check and make sure that we have sound here. Let's see. Everybody's talking. Let me check and see if we got sound coming in. Looks good on my end, but that don't necessarily mean anything. All the little colored bars are jumping up and down and everything. So until I see people jumping up and down in the chat room, then that doesn't necessarily mean that we have sound. So I don't know what the delay is right now. Excuse me. But let's see. Let's do it this way. Let me do it the old-fashioned way. There we go. Let's see. Peanut Rider says we're 5x5. Okay, if one can hear, everybody should be able to hear. So let's move on with it. I put a deal on Facebook here a while back, and I don't think that it had anything to do with the popularity here of the multi-state concealed weapons class, but we're doing one in Snowflake this coming Saturday, Snowflake, Arizona. We're doing one in Sholo on the 28th, and we're doing one in St. John's on the 11th of February. And I think that people are... Thank you, Susie B. Susie B is always diligent there. She gets us on XIAA or whatever that app is on her phone. She's always one of the first to reply. I appreciate that. Amy Iowa Cat said hello. She's waving at you. All right. I put this deal on there and said that something about the way things are moving, current events, both locally and internationally, should have people thinking about carrying a gun, about being armed all the time. And I don't think that the popularity of these classes the last month had anything to do with that post, but I think the post kind of demonstrates what is actually going on. People are becoming a little bit concerned. The closer it comes to inauguration time, the more concerned people are getting. And I think that people are seeing quite a number of possibilities here and how widespread that it possibly could be. I still don't want to try to, spread any fear or panic yet, but it's common sense to me. There's just too much stuff going on. One of the things that popped up here was in Washington, D.C., they came up with a couple of different caches of weapons. They're not sure if they're both related. They found a couple of long guns in a violin case or a guitar case down the river a little ways. And then they got to looking around, and on down a little farther, they found more weapons that were concealed, not just dumped in the trash, but concealed with trash. So, you know, the two or three possibilities there. One, of course, is that they're setting us up for a false flag event. The ATF could have put that stuff there just as easy as anybody else could. They've done it before. We've proved it before. But it also could be that some of these people that are claiming that they're going to do something might actually do it. Maybe they're not all bark and do have a little bit of bite. There's also been some, the Mexican cartel has declared January 20th to be Bloody Friday. So they may or may not do anything. It may be all threats to unnerve people. I don't know. But it's, I think it bears watching. It's not gonna cost us anything to watch and see what's going on. I know there is a biker group, a good size group of bikers that is going to D.C. and they plan to set up a perimeter around the good guys there. And of course, I'm not sure what they intend to do if they're planning on abiding by the law. It's still a little bit difficult to get guns into that part of the country. But maybe they're like the Indians in North Dakota or South Dakota or wherever they're at. That they're going in there unarmed because they believe in what they're doing and they're taking their chances. So we'll see. God bless them for having the fortitude to do that. I think there's going to be quite a few groups, quite a few different people that are headed there for that same reason. Some of them want to be there for the, you know, for the historic value of being there. But, Iowa Cat, I also heard that Oath Keepers would be there, and for what it's worth. Don't get me wrong, there's still some good Oath Keepers out there, and there's a lot of people that have kept their oath that are not necessarily Oath Keepers that belong to the Oath Keeper group. But leadership in the Oath Keepers has pretty much gone down the tubes. But there's still a lot of good people there, and, you know, they may actually, of course, there was a lot of them that have abandoned ship and run when things got hard, too. So we'll see what happens there. There were some Oath Keepers that stood their ground in Ferguson, and I have no reason to believe that there won't be at least a few that will do that in Washington, D.C. So it's and Doc says, back in the bad old days, Peanut Ratter used to carry a violin case, and one fateful day he told his mama, "I ain't taking violin lessons no more." Yeah. So it's exciting, it's terrifying at the same time. It could go, it could go a very, very bad direction. And for a couple of reasons, I think that if since they don't know where those weapons came from yet, but they have been reported to the masses, if they're setting up a false flag there, they could actually find reason to declare martial law. They could create that event. I'm hoping that that's not the case, but I don't see it as being completely out of the realm of possibility either. So we'll definitely keep an eye on it. And on Friday the 20th, all the events are taking place, obviously, earlier in the day, so it'll pretty much be over by the time Liberty Lounge comes on. So be prepared for Liberty Lounge maybe not to be 100% music this coming Friday. We may have some news to report. There may be some activities, some events going on that are more important than listening to music. So we'll see. Certainly there'll be some, because I'm going to have to take a break, take a blood pressure pill every once in a while while all this is going on. But we'll see. All right. Radio Doc just joined us. Let me see who all we got in here anyway. Let's check this out. Bright Angel, Charlie Brown, Desert Rat, Doc, Iowa Cat, Mini Mountain Shooter, Northwest Heavy, Peanut Rider, Radio Doc, Yakima Glock, and a handful of anonymous, sir. All right. Good deal. Okay. Let's see here. There's Let me check this one out here. I'm getting my crystal ball fired up and polished up here. Never mind, that one means absolutely nothing. So let's start here. I've got some lawmakers here in Arizona that feel like they're doing a good thing. And, you know, I'm not convinced that they have thought this out very good. I think they truly believe, actually, I have a guy from the 10th Amendment Center that is meeting with them tonight and expressing my concerns over this revision to Arizona Revised Statute 26-121, which is the composition of the militia and persons that are exempt. Now, Arizona has really good militia laws, and they need to not get too excited about changing anything there. So what they've put in here, the original one says the militia of the state of Arizona consists of all able-bodied citizens of the state between the ages of 18 and 45 years of age, or 18 and 45 years. And all, I'm having a hard time reading this because they got the revision stuck in here in a different color. So, 18 to 45 years, and all residents of this state between such ages, and who have declared their intention to become citizens of the United States, except persons exempted from the law of the state or the United States. Persons with a serious mental illness, totally blind persons, and persons convicted of infamous crimes, judges and clerks of courts of record, state and county civil officers holding office by election, and members of the legislature, and members of the clergy. So, stand by one second here. All right, I'm back. Let's see, what is Dr. Gun question? Everyone's familiar with tumble-looping, but has anyone ever done studies on the effect of tumble-looping jacketed? I haven't ever looped them, Doc, but I've tumbled a million bullets. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. I'm not sure what you mean by tumble-looping. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, never mind. Let's see, what was I doing? Oh, here we go. All right, let me read you the revisions here, and then we'll go back and talk about this. Now, here's what they are proposing that it say. And then I'm going to ask you, before I say what I think about this, I want to see what some of you think. Put it on the chat room and let me know. It's proposed that it say the militia of the state of Arizona consists of all able-bodied and loyal. Wow, as you were. Let us begin again. The militia of the state of Arizona consists of all able-bodied and law-abiding citizens of this state who own a firearm and who are between 18 and 45 years of age, and all able-bodied and law-abiding residents of this state between such ages who own a firearm and who have declared their intention to become citizens of the United States, except persons exempted by the laws of this state or the United States, and then it's all the same that I just read a while ago. And then Section B says this is what they're adding to it. The legislature finds that the militia of the state is necessary for the security of this free and sovereign state. The militia members of this state have the right under the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution and Article 2, Section 26 of the Arizona Constitution to keep and bear arms. The right to keep and bear arms may not be infringed or called into question by the federal government or any state or local government. Okay, now I'm going to give you guys, I don't know what the delay is here, but I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to think about that. Tell me what you think is wrong with what I've read here, and then I'll throw in my two cents worth here in just a second. And while, matter of fact, I think what I'll do, so I don't get everybody off track talking about other stuff, I'm going to play another song here, about a foot long, and give you all just a couple of minutes to ponder on this, and then we'll be back. Let's see, what's a good one to play? Let's think. How about this one here? I like this song.
Yes, I heard. I got a Lincoln problem. She's always on my mind. Her memory goes round and round. I've tried to quit a thousand times. Yes, I admit I've got a thinking problem. Build a glass up to the top. With loving her, but I don't know when to stop. I wake up and right away, her name is on my lips. Lots of memories start to flow. Well, I can't stop with just one sip. Yes, I admit I got a thinking problem. Always on my mind. Her memory goes round and round. I've tried to quit a thousand times. Yes, I admit I've got a thinking problem. Build a glass up to the top. I'll start with loving her, but I don't know where to stop. Yes, I admit I got a thinking problem. She's always on my mind. Her memory goes round and round. I've tried to quit a thousand times. Yes, I admit I've got a thinking problem. Build the glass up to the top.
Okay, now it's had time to think about it. Let me go back and look at the chat room, see what's going on. Let's see. Well, here's the problem, Yakima Glock. You're on the right track here. Everybody else is lubing bullets, but you're on the right track. You're asking, did the previous version of the law require militia members to be gun owners? No, it didn't. And that's where I have the heartburn. Requiring something that is a constitutional right is no more constitutional than taking them away. So there are people, there are women that, they cook and set up camp and take care of kids and do things out there that are just as much a part of the militia as anybody else, even though we'd call it an auxiliary maybe. But some of them may or may not choose to be armed, and we can't make that a prerequisite that you have to own a gun to be part of the militia. That is diametrically opposed to what the militia is here for, and that is to keep things on the constitutional up and up here. The age limit is fine, Radio Doc. What it says, just like in United States Code Title 10, Chapter 13, Section 311, says that all able-bodied males between the ages of 17 and 45 are in the militia. It doesn't say that you can't be if you're older or younger. It says that you are if you're between those ages, and I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with requiring people to have guns. It's preferable, certainly. Mandatory? Absolutely not. So let me get my deal out here. The other thing I had a problem with was in this first part here, the first section, it says the militia of the state of Arizona consists of all able-bodied and law-abiding citizens of this state who own a firearm, blah, blah, blah. So who's to determine what is law-abiding and what's not? If I get caught jaywalking, am I no longer allowed to be in the militia? If it's a felony, that's already covered in Section A, subsection A, let's see, in Section A1, says all these people will be in the militia except persons exempted by laws of this state or the United States. So felons, that pretty much makes them exempt not only for the owning and carrying of a firearm, but they can't even be around firearms. So that cuts out felons right there. And I don't have a problem with that. I should say violent felons I wouldn't have a problem with. I'm not sure that some of the other felonies should be felonies. But anyway, it doesn't give any description of any definition of what is law-abiding and what is not. So, it might be a little bit more understandable if we're talking about, pedophiles and wife beaters and all that kind of stuff. But what about shoplifters and jaywalkers and people that run a stop sign, people that didn't get a permit to add an addition onto their garage? Those are all crimes that can be punishable by imprisonment and or fines. So does that mean that those people can't be in the militia because they didn't get a permit to add a bathroom in their garage? So I got a big problem with this, and I've got people right now, as we speak, at this very moment, there are people down in Phoenix that are discussing this because I have, I know one of these lawmakers pretty well, and I'm a little, I understand that she's trying to do the right thing, but I don't think she thought this out very good. So there's a guy down there from the 10th Amendment Center that is expressing my concerns about this right this very moment, and probably before the show is done or shortly thereafter, I'll have an answer to this. Let's see. Susie B says, I have a problem with felons not being able to carry a gun or be around gun if you have gone to prison and done your time and they have released you. I agree with that, you know, up to a point. If they're violent felons, if they're not worth... hang on here a minute. If they have served their time and they've been released out into the public, then they should be able to do anything that anybody else can do. But I don't think at this point in history that we're going to have any luck whatsoever getting that changed. So we got to take one thing at a time. But Susie B, I do agree with you, and I think we've talked about that on the show before. Peanut Rider, I agree with you too. But we'll see what happens. That's not even going to be on the docket here at any time in the near future in any state or nationally. But I would like to see that changed. We've got to take one thing at a time and try to get things changed. After the reset, we can probably change that law also. Let's see. That Yakima Glock, you're having the same kind of computer problems I did in there for a while. But I've got that fixed right now. So let's look now. Let's bounce around. Let me go back and look here and see if there's something else that goes along with this. This kind of goes along with it. I don't know what, not only does Arizona have the best gun laws in the country by a long shot, it also has some of the best knife laws in the country. There are actually very few knife laws here. You can carry, any pocket knife is legal. The Ballysong knives are legal. Switchblades, gravity knives, Bowie knives, stilettos, all of those are legal. where it gets a little dicey here is it's legal for anyone over 21 to carry knives concealed. Now, I don't know what the concealed part law is in other states. I think it says somewhere that the knife that's concealed, if it's something other than a standard pocket knife. Boy, I almost didn't get to the button fast enough for that one. Whew, that snuck up on me. Let's see. It is illegal to not inform a police officer when they stop you that you are carrying a concealed knife when the knife is not a pocket knife. That I didn't know. It's illegal for someone under 21 years of age to carry a non-pocket knife concealed. There it was. That's what. And it is illegal to bring a knife into schools. So outside of those things listed there, it's illegal to use a knife to commit a behavior that's already illegal. And all that means is that if you, it's like the crime will be enhanced, just like it would be if you were carrying a gun. If you, let's say you robbed a bank with a knife, it would be, the penalty would be higher for using the knife than it would if you robbed a bank, with a finger gun or a note or some note saying you had a bomb or something. But having an actual weapon there enhances that a little bit. There's, in 2011, in the old days, now, switchblade, I think I said that, switchblades and everything are perfectly legal here. They sell them on the street, over the counter. In the old days, the state of Arizona had its own knife laws, and individual cities would have their own knife laws as well. So that, there's kind of a state preemption law, just like there is with guns, that individual municipal, cities and towns and whatnot cannot make their own laws more stringent than what is already state law. The result of those, before they changed that, was that people were being charged with having illegal knives that were 100% legal in other parts of the state. Same thing happens with guns. We also have state preemption law here for guns, as do I'm not sure how many states have state preemption laws. There's quite a few. It's over half of the country, I believe, has preemption laws for firearms. So in 2011, they preempted all these municipal laws and made it made virtually every type of knife out there legal. This was based off the fact that the majority of knife owners use their knives as tools rather than weapons. A little bit of common sense there, yeah, not a bad thing. Said the old laws were harming more innocent citizens than criminals and were finally changed. So, it's, I think that pretty well covers it. I thought that was kind of interesting anyway. Yeah, I must have swallowed something here in crossways and can't get it coughed up. All right, let's move on down the line. Let me check my chat room, see what's going on here. Yakima Glock, I think you're right. There's quite a few states that have a 4-inch limit. There's some that have a 3-inch limit on concealable knives or pocket knives, period, in some states. So, it does behoove you to, not only does it behoove you to know the laws to keep yourself from getting in trouble, but it would behoove you also to get involved with some of these knife groups, because I think we've taken some of these things for granted. All of us, I had a pocket knife in my pocket as soon as I was old enough to have my own pockets. When I had little tiny bitty britches with little bitty tiny bitty pockets, I had a pocket knife in it my whole life. And I've just taken it for granted, never thought about it. The first time I ever crossed my mind to think about it in the slightest degree is when I went to Atlanta, Georgia when I was like 30-something. And they said, "Why, are you kidding me? What do you mean a knife with a 4-inch blade? What are you talking about?" Couldn't believe it. So after that, I've looked at quite a bit of them, quite a few of them. And there's a group out there called, let me look it up here for you. I think it's knife.org, maybe, or knifeowners.org. Might be kniferights.org. Let me try that. I think it's Knife Rights. Kniferights.org. Great organization. It has information there just like they do on a lot of gun-related sites, things to do if you're arrested, lots of media release, way to donate to them, and it's a pretty neat deal. You can get a you can go, they don't put out their own magazine, but you can get a magazine through that site. They've got a section in there on carrying switchblades as or with your CCW. So get involved in that. If you don't do anything else, send them a couple of bucks once in a while just to keep them running. And Doc, that's a good point. Doc says, be aware that in a certain jurisdiction, the CCW does not give you the right to carry a knife. And that's true. And in some places it does, because the concealed CCW is concealed carry weapon, not concealed carry gun or firearm. There are a few places out there that call it a CCP, concealed carry pistol. So be sure and check and see what your CCW will allow you to do if you're in a place where these kind of things are of a concern to you. In Arizona, it's not an issue, at least not yet. And I don't see that being a problem anytime in the near future here. Yakima Glock, that's pretty cool. I have not got my first knife. I have no earthly idea where it went or how long ago it was, but of course you're just a pup, so that's a little easier to keep up with at that point, I guess. Anyway. All right. Let's check here. Matter of fact, I think it's about time. Yeah, let's see if I can get this cleared out of my throat. So I think what we'll do is play another little song here for a little break, and then we'll be back.
She played tambourine with a silver jingle, and she must have known the words to at least a million tunes. But the one most requested by the man she knew as Cowboy was a late night benediction at the All Come Back Saloon. In a voice soft and trembling, she'd sing her song to Cowboy as a smoky halo circled round her raven head. And all the fallen angels, the pinball playing rounders, stopped the games that they'd been playing for the losers' evening prayer. Faded love and faded memories, how they linger in her mind. Miles and years played the cowboy like an old melody, out of tune and out of time. Every night in the shadows, thinking back on Amarillo, he'd dream of better days and ask for faded love. Lifting high his glass in honor of the lady and her song, he paid his check then lonely walked that broken cowboy home. She played tambourine with a silver jingle, and she must have known the words to at least a million tunes. But the one most requested by the man she knew as Cowboy
was a late night benediction at the Y'all Come Back Saloon.
She played tambourine with a silver jingle, and she must have known the words to at least a million tunes. But the one most requested by the man she knew as Cowboy was a late night benediction at the Y'all Come Back Saloon. With a silver jingle, and she must have known the words to these 10 million tunes. But the one most requested by the man she knew as Cowboy was a late night benediction at the Y'all Come Back
I can't hide the way I feel about you anymore. I can't hold the hurt inside, keep the pain out of my eyes anymore. My tears no longer wave. My resistance ain't that strong. My mind keeps recreating a life with you alone. And I'm tired of pretending I don't love you anymore. Let me make one last appeal to show you how I feel about you. Cause there's no one else, I swear, holds a candle anywhere next to you. My heart can't take the beating, not having you to hold. A small voice keeps repeating deep inside my soul. It says I can't keep pretending I don't love you anymore. If I expect to get on with my life, Montana Ray. Big shot, great player.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, well, that was cut a little short there for some reason. I'm still learning. Let's see, what did Doc say up here? There was something I didn't get finished reading. Where did it go? Recently passed permitless constitutional carry, but the cops still appreciate if you have CCW, which shows you passed a background check. Huh? Yeah, I can understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but sometimes, you don't have to have a permit in Arizona either, period. But there are certain things, and there's no such thing as constitutional carry. That's a misnomer. We know what I think about that. It's a stupid term. But that's what they call it here, too. But it does allow you to, if it's going to be constitutional carry, it should be constitutional carry, where there are no restrictions whatsoever, again, except for private businesses and private homes and whatever. But it does allow you to have a few less restrictions when you have a permit in Arizona. It is not true that you can carry anywhere, anytime, concealed without a permit. A lot of people believe that, and a lot of people are not getting permits and then finding out that they're getting in trouble when they go into places that sell alcohol and things like that. So, if for no other reason, now I understand, everybody knows my stand on this. I don't believe we should have to have a permit, period. Period. At all, not period. But, being as how we do, there is no point in risking a felony in many cases because you believe that we shouldn't have to have one. We have taken the concealed carry law issue by storm this last few years, and there are more states now than since the turn of the last century that have what they call constitutional or permitless carry. People think that back in the early 1900s and everything, there was quite a few restrictions then too, a lot. But so we've made a lot of headway. There's no point in risking a felony. So if for no other reason, for those states that don't require a permit, it still makes sense to get one in most cases. Maybe not in some, but. In most cases, it allows you a certain degree of reciprocity, a certain amount of freedom to travel about the country without getting in trouble. There's, oddly enough, as lax as Arizona's laws are, we have as good a reciprocity as pretty much anybody in the state. I think we have 34 or 36 states that you can carry in with an Arizona permit. And I don't think there's anybody. Florida may have one more, but I'm not positive about that. So I don't think there's any state that has the reciprocity that we do. So there you go. That makes it worth having one, at least for the time being. Let's see. All right, let's get off of that for a little bit here and get back on my crystal ball here. My guy down in Phoenix has just got out of the meeting with the legislators down there. Sorry for the late reply. Just got out of the meeting. Big thanks. And looks like he got called away again. I'm waiting to see if they paid any attention to it and if I did any good that writing all that stuff up for him. We'll see what happens. Have you seen the thing on Fox News Insider and probably other places too, where Obama said, "I'm the first modern president without a major scandal"? I'm trying to process that. I'm not exactly sure what they would call a major scandal. By my way of thinking, my little pea brain, I think that Fast and Furious was a relatively major scandal. Benghazi, lots of other ones that were less, to a lesser degree. But those are a couple of mighty big ones there, by my way of thinking. So, and of course, this was on 60 Minutes, I guess. And I sat down with Steve Croft on 60 Minutes for his final network television appearance. Yeah. Said he hasn't had a single major scandal during his 8 years in office. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. It's your story. You can tell it however you want to. I guess you heard that the group, the band U2, bunch of old-timers nowadays here, but they have announced a strike here, not going to release their latest album as long as Trump is in there because of his, let's see, says it will take some breathing space because of Trump's ascension to the White House. All righty. Hang on just a minute there. 1 second. Thank you. All right, let's see here. Got sidetracked a little bit. There's a lot of people are claiming that this is more than a coincidence, and it's amazing to me how many people think that every single thing that happens, everything, that the government's behind it in some way. I fully agree that they are. We've proven it numerous times. But here's a guy here. His name is David M. Schrock from Waldport, Oregon. Now, David Schrock is the son of Dwayne Schrock. Dwayne Schrock was at the refuge. He's a rancher. We're pretty well acquainted with him, and definitely, you know, prayers and thoughts go out to him and his family. But David, the son, 41 years old, was killed Monday when he was hit by a large tree branch. Said according to the sheriff's office, deputies were called 10:50 in the morning, characterized it as an industrial accident near Interstate 5 and Highway 89. According to preliminary investigative reports, a hazardous tree branch was being removed when it struck a worker. You know, and I just really don't believe that the government had anything to do with that. I think it was an unfortunate accident, and it's just one of them things. So there's other people on Facebook, oh, you know, this guy died and that guy died and the government's doing this and that and the other. I really don't believe it. So take it for what it's worth. All right, let's see if we can squeeze one more. We already talked about the shootout in Nuevo Laredo. This is one, we're going to spend some time on that. I'm not going to spoil it for you right now. That's another one that I could spend some time on. We've got one of our friends and a legislator in Idaho, Heather Scott, great, great patriot, constitutionalist, just really full of fire when it comes to the Constitution and standing up for what she believes in. Well, she stood up and spoke her mind in one of these meetings right here, and I think they've been laying for a while. She is, her and Michelle Fiore are not exactly what a lot of these legislators want to sit around and do legislator things with. And, it seems that the chairperson or whatever, here, the Speaker of the House or whatever, seems to have a little bit more power than she probably should. And to make a long story short here, because Heather Scott, spoke her mind, she has been stripped of all her committee assignments. She's still there, but they're making it pretty tough on her. You can do a search there and look for, it's actually her and another one, I think, that they just pretty well neutered them where they can't do anything. So, but I think she'll be back, because if you go and look at her Facebook page, and I encourage you to check that out, there are lots and lots of people that have stood up for her, and I think that they're already... the Speaker of the House or whatever it is, I guess that's who stripped her of her assignments there. I am sure that they're already hearing quite a bit of flack over having done that. So I'm anxious to see what happens here over the next week or so. So most of you may not be as interested in that. People in the Pacific Northwest need to pay attention, particularly in Idaho. And I would urge you to, especially if you're in Idaho, even if you're not, you know, you'll have a little more clout if you are from Idaho, but especially if you're from Idaho, you know, call your representatives and insist that Heather be reinstated to her full power. I'm not sure exactly how to word that, but anyway, make a fuss about it. Be respectful and professional about it, but let them know what you think. All right, let's see. Iowa Cat, that sounds like a good book. It says there's a book called How Deplorables Can Make America Great Again. Sounds interesting. All right, looks like we're all caught up with everything on here. So I think what we're going to do is go ahead and ease on out of here. And I will see you all Wednesday. We've got some gun stuff to talk about Wednesday already picked out. And then Friday ought to be an interesting day, to say the least. So we'll see you then. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.